This morning we're finishing up our Christmas series. Over the Christmas season we've been studying through who Jesus is. And we've been looking at the words of Jesus, Jesus' self-explanation of who he is. And we've been looking at Jesus' I am statements. Jesus made a series of I am statements that are really based in the name of God, Yahweh God. Yahweh means he is. And this is how God identified himself to the Israelites. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And we've looked at these I am statements, and Jesus is the great I am. That's the first one we saw. Jesus said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh as an atoning sacrifice, you have no hope of eternal life. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Jesus sustains our life. Everything that we need, our sustenance, our spiritual sustenance and vitality, it comes through Jesus. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light. He is truth and goodness. You want to know the truth, you look to Jesus. You want to learn the truth, you listen to the words of Jesus. If you want to walk in darkness, you reject Jesus. But if you want to walk in light, you turn to Jesus because he is the light of the world. In John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the entry point into the fold of God, into the people of God. If you want to belong to God, there are not many ways. There is one way, and that is in Jesus. He is the door. Jesus said in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus cares for the people of God. He cares for his flock. In John 11, 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, you want eternal life? It's in me. And he demonstrated that he has the power of life and resurrection as he raised Lazarus from the dead after it was 4 days. Last week we saw that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the one way. He's the truth and it leads to eternal life. And as we've looked at these I am statements of Jesus, what are you going to do with that truth? We've looked at this and what Scripture says about Jesus and what Jesus says about himself. And he's more than a baby. And he's more than just a regular guy, a religious leader. That he is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And what are you going to do with that truth? You see, God knows our weakness. God knows that we have a weakness and a temptation when we learn something that it's easy for it to go in one ear and out the other. God's word says, don't just be hearers of the word. Don't hear it and forget about it. But be hearers of God's word and effectual doers of God's word. God warns us about this because we have a tendency to forget, a tendency to wander. We hear the truth of God, we believe it. Yes, that's true. And then we get distracted by other things. And God knows our weakness and that we're tempted in this way. And that's why God has given us this last I am statement. He doesn't want us to forget it. He doesn't want you to be distracted or drawn away from the truth of who Jesus is. And that's why Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And as we're going to see this morning, what God's word tells us and what Jesus tells us is hear my word, receive me, and abide in me. God wants you to cling to him. God wants you to be steadfast in your trust and faith and holding on to Him because He is your only hope. He is your lifeline. And Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. God wants you to abide and remain faithful to Him through ups and downs, through difficulties. You face cancer. You face the loss of a job. You face a death in the family. You face problems and hardships. And we have the blessing of knowing Christ and belonging to Him and clinging to Him. Christ says, I'm walking with you through it. But He says, abide in me, cling to me. It was in the 1500s that there was a man named Martin Luther. He was a simple monk. A monk in the Roman Catholic Church. And he began to have doubts about the church and about religion and about Christianity. He began to see the abuses and he began to see the hypocrisy. Even among the priests and the clergy and the bishops and even the Pope. And he began to read Scripture. And as he went to the Scriptures and he read the Scriptures, he started to realize the church has been doing this wrong and that wrong and all these other things. And he began to take the Word of God and translate it from Hebrew and Greek, which God originally wrote the Bible in, and he began to translate it into the German language. And he began to teach the people so that people could understand the Word of God. That sounds like a noble calling. But there were many, many people that were not happy. The Pope, Pope Leo X, he was not happy. The Emperor, Charles V, it was not happy. The church leadership was not happy, and they wanted to kill Luther for translating the Word of God into the German language. Could you imagine that? And so they tried to get him, they tried to kill him, they tried to assassinate him. And finally, they scheduled a trial at Worms, Germany in 1521. And they guaranteed his safe passage. And he went there because he said this is an opportunity to defend the truth of Scripture, to show these guys what Scripture actually says. And they brought the trial against him and they asked him to recant. Take back what you've said, take back what you've written. And he says, I can't take back because most of what I've written is I'm translating God's word. If you ask me to recant, I'll be denying Scripture itself. And so they had a recess for a day to give him one more opportunity to retract. And said, if you don't do that, we're going to put you to death. And so the next day comes and they ask for his answer, will you recant? And Luther gives this incredible speech, articulating the truth of God's word, the purity of God's word, and that God's word is the authority that is above every council, every pastor, every pope. God's word is the authority. And Luther concludes his defense and he says, my conscience is taken captive by the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything. On this, I take my stand. I could do no other. God help me. And here in the face of death, Luther says, I'm taking my stand on God's word and I'm clinging to the truth. You know what that's an illustration of? What Jesus says when he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, remain in me. Remain faithful to me, remain committed to me, no matter what the consequences. And that's what we're going to see this morning. We're going to see this last I am statement that Jesus makes. And he says, you know who I am. I've told you who I am. Believe in me and remain in me. Cling to me. So you can take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15. And we're going to see our last section of the I am statements. And in John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. As we look at this passage, what we see is three realities of true Christians. These are realities that are true and they're at work in the life of every true believer. There are false believers out there. You understand that? There are some people that come to church and they would identify, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and they're not. They're not a true believer. And how do we know true believers from false believers? Well, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by how they respond to my word. You'll know them by a life of turning from sin and following me. And here in this passage, we see three realities that are true of every single true believer. And the first one is that true believers belong to Christ. True believers belong to Christ. They acknowledge, I know Christ and I belong to him. My life belongs to him. He's in charge and I'm relying on him. And we see this in John 15 verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus launches into this teaching, and he uses the metaphor of a vineyard. And the vineyard owner, the vine keeper. And Jesus explains this metaphor, and he says, I'm the vine. And my Father is the vine dresser, and my believers are the branches. You see, God is at work through the lives of his people. He wants to use you to produce fruit. He wants your lives to be fruitful. You see, the clusters of grapes don't grow on the vine, they grow on the branches. You look at the vine, it comes up out of the ground, it's tough and gnarly. The grapes don't grow on there, they grow on the branches. And this is what God intends to use his people for, that you would be fruitful to God. That Christ would produce fruit in you and through you for his glory and for your good, for the good of the church, the good of society in general. And Jesus explains, I'm the vine, you're the branches, my Father is the vine dresser. And he talks about the responsibilities. What a simple word picture that Christ uses. We understand the vine. The vine is the main part of the plant. Without the vine, the rest of the plant can't live. He explains that he's the vine and the Father is the vine dresser and that we are the branches. And God wants to produce fruit in our lives. And the way that he does that is as we abide in Christ. The other way that he does that is that the Father prunes us. That he removes branches that are not being fruitful. That he trims back the vine so that it could be as fruitful as possible. Remember when Nicole and I bought our house, we had a little plot in the backyard and it was real heavy clay. I had to bring in sand, and I found a guy that had a bunch of horse manure and got a couple of truckloads of that and sand, and got a little tiller, and we rototilled, and we planted our garden, and we had beets, and we had onions and carrots, and we had tomatoes and zucchini, but the tomato plants weren't making fruit. You get a couple of little guys, but the tomato plants just kept getting bigger and bigger. They looked healthy, and Nicole watered them every morning. And I thought, what are we doing wrong? And the problem is that we didn't prune those tomatoes back. And so the tomato plant put all its energy in getting bigger. But that's not the job of the tomato plant to get bigger. It's to make tomatoes. And our friend explained to me, no, you got to like trim them back. And as you do that, it forces that plant to put its energy into making fruit. And this is what God does. And sometimes we have problems in our lives. Sometimes we have difficulties. And why does God allow those? Well, because he's testing our faith. He's growing our faith. Sometimes it's God pruning us. He prunes us back so that we don't grow into areas that we shouldn't be growing in. So we don't get puffed up and exalt ourselves. He prunes us so that we can be fruitful for him. And so the job here, each of these members, the vine, the vine keeper, and the branches, is to produce fruit. And they're all at work. Jesus' main point here is that those who produce fruit are his. Those who are his belong to him, and he will produce fruit in them, and the Father will prune and guarantee that there is fruitfulness. Those that belong to Christ will bear the fruit of Christ. It's inevitable. And that's an encouraging thing, because God guarantees, as a believer, your ultimate success and fruitfulness. God's at work in you. God has given you the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to help you to serve him. The Father is pruning you and tending you. Christ is leading you. We read in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And in Romans 8, we also see that Jesus himself in heaven today is interceding for believers. God is at work behind the scenes, ensuring the believer's faithfulness. Isn't that encouraging? And if you know I belong to Christ, I know he has saved me and that he is committed to me and he's working in my life to produce fruit. And it's going to happen. I need to trust him. I need to yield to him. I need to obey him. And as I do that, God is going to make my life fruitful to the glory of God. Here, Jesus, he says, those that belong to God, God prunes. Those that don't, he takes away. We're going to see this a little bit later on. So what is the key point that we see here? Well, Jesus is saying, you guys belong to me. You belong to the Father as the vine dresser, and you belong to me as branches. You're connected to me, and you're connected to my Father. I am the vine, and you are the branches. True believers belong to God. You see, the vine sustains, the branches produce fruit, and the vine dresser prunes. This is the point that Jesus is making, is true believers belong to God, that you're connected to him, and he's connected to you, and the Father is at work in your life, pruning and tending you. You see, Jesus uses this metaphor of the vine and the branches and the vine dresser to explain being members of God's family and belonging to God. You know, Jesus has used all sorts of descriptions to explain his relationship with his people. He explains what it means to belong to God. Here's a little list. He talks about God being your father and you being a son. Belonging to God as the sheep belong to the shepherd. Being wheat as opposed to tares. Being sheep as opposed to goats. Your relationship with God, that he is master and you are slave. That he is teacher and you are student. This is all language of belonging to. That God is God and we belong to him. True believers belong to God. And here, Jesus, he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. You're part of me, you belong to me. True believers belong to God. And Jesus says this And as he teaches, he explains, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus makes a statement about their standing before him. You're clean. What does that mean? Your sins are washed away because of the word which I've spoken. They believed in God's word. They believed Christ. They trusted in him. They were saved. And now Jesus says, okay, and now I want you to remain in me and be fruitful. I was talking with someone this week, and they talk about they're finally trying to understand what it means to be a believer. And I told this person, listen, getting saved is the beginning. It's not the end. Okay, now I'm saved, and now I'm done with God, and I could kind of go off and do my own thing. No, being saved is just the beginning. I've trusted Christ, I belong to him, and now I need to remain in him and abide in him and serve him. And so Jesus, as he teaches us, his first truth is that true believers belong to Christ. Just like the branches belong to the vine, they belong on the vine. And the vine and branches belong to the vine dresser. They belong to the farmer. This is the key point. The point that flows from this is that unbelievers do not belong to God, and they're removed from God's vineyard. You see, it's important that we understand belonging to God is a blessing and a privilege. Not everyone belongs to God. Jesus said, broad is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who find it, but narrow is the gate, and narrow is the path that leads to eternal life, and there are few that find it. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and they don't belong to God's vineyard. That's why we have the privilege of bringing the gospel of them, that God says, I'm inviting you to come and be part of my vineyard, and I will transplant you in my vineyard. Those who belong to God will be pruned and will be fruitful for the glory of God. So the first truth that we see is Jesus explains that he is the vine, and that we are to remain in him, is that true believers belong to Christ. The second truth that we see in this passage that is a reality for every believer is that true believers abide in Christ. True believers are disciples of Christ. They're not just casual acquaintances. Oh yeah, you know, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I go to church every now and again. I have a marginal relationship with him. That's not what God has called you to. True believers abide and remain and rely on Christ. Look at what the word says. John 15, verses 4 through 6. He says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up and is gathered and cast into the fire, and they are burned. So here Jesus says, true believers remain in him. They remain connected to him. It's not just a casual, oh yeah, I kind of believe in Jesus. It's either you do or you don't. And it's an all-the-way commitment. Think about this. Was Jesus' commitment, was it a partial commitment or was it a full commitment? Jesus was committed and he laid down his life. He gave it all so that you might be saved. And to respond to that and say, well, I'm just going to give the Lord a portion of my life. Sunday mornings belong to Christ. And then the rest of the week, it belongs to me. No, Jesus says, abide in me. Fully, completely committed, trusting. This word abide, it means to remain. It describes this ongoing relationship, faithfulness and loyalty to the Lord. True believers will remain faithful and loyal towards Christ. This is a doctrine that we see through Scripture. It's the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. that believers are going to persevere with Christ. Think about what Abraham had to go through. And he persevered. Why? Because God was with him. He belonged to Christ. Think about Job. Job endured the loss of family and wealth and everything, even his health. And he remained faithful to the Lord. And he persevered. This is true, that if you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you, then he is with you and he's going to bring you through trials and difficulties. And you're going to endure in faith and in love for the Lord. Boy, what an encouraging truth that God says, you belong to me and I'm committed to you and I'm going to bring you safely across that great river. And I'm going to bring you to the promised land of eternity. Jesus says, abide in me. And Jesus guarantees your eternal fruitfulness and faithfulness because you belong to him. And abiding goes both ways. Jesus says, abide in me and I in him. You see that in verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. What is it? We abide in him and he abides in us. Jesus doesn't say, hey, remain faithful to me. But Jesus says, I want you to remain faithful to me as I am faithful to you. What a wonderful truth that is, that Christ is faithful to his flock. We saw earlier that Jesus is the good shepherd. And what does he do for his flock? He lays down his life for the flock. This abiding, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. He goes on to say that the one who does this bears much fruit because apart from me, you can do nothing. A branch can't bear fruit if it's cut off from the vine. So many times believers struggle and they cut themselves off from the vine. Whether it's not attending church or not reading God's word or not having fellowship, they cut themselves off from God and they wonder, why am I struggling? Well, you need to reestablish and recommit that abiding and faith in Christ. And Jesus says, as you do this, you will produce much fruit. So God wants you to have an abiding faith, a faith that is ongoing and that is faithful to God, a dependence on God. See, God is self-existent and self-sustaining, but we're not, and we need God every day. Every day, it should be our practice and our prayer, saying, Lord, I need you today. I want to be obedient to you. I want to serve you, and I don't have the strength and the power in myself to do it. I need you. Lord, would you help me? I want to abide in you, and would you produce the fruit that you want in my life? Well, that's a good prayer. That's the kind of prayer that we should all be sincerely bringing before the Lord every single day. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He abides in me and I in him. He bears much fruit. See, God wants to have you abide in him so that you could bear a great amount of fruit. This word here for much is the word mega. You know what word we get from this Greek word mega? The English word mega. Something is big. It's mega. And Jesus says, the one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. It's going to happen. Because apart from me, you could do nothing. If you don't abide in the Lord, you're not going to be fruitful. And if you don't abide in the Lord, well, then that's a bigger problem because that's an indicator that you don't belong to him. Because those who belong to Christ abide in him, and those who abide in Christ will be fruitful unto him. And so Jesus says, apart from me, you could do nothing. Jesus is the vine. He's the source of life and sustenance for the branches. He's everything that we need so that we could thrive and be flourishing Now, you may be asking the question, how do I abide in Christ? It's easy to say, abide in Christ. I need to abide in Christ. I need to remain in Him. But what does that mean? How do I actually do that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's five key ways. If you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. The first way that you could abide in Christ is through Bible reading. As I give you this list of five things, these are the spiritual disciplines. This is what God's Word tells us. These are the things that we could put into practice to grow in the Lord and to grow closer to Him and to be strong in the Lord. So the first one is Bible reading. Bible reading every day. How you choose to do it. You may do Bible reading in the morning, and then that's it. Or you may do Bible reading at night, and that's it. Or maybe you do a little in the morning, a little at night. Make sure that you're reading in the Bible. It's good to have little devotions, little daily breads. Think about that as the supplement. Those are the vitamins. The Bible, that's the meal. So eat your meal, and then you can take your vitamins. But prioritize the Word of God through Bible reading. Number two, Scripture memorization. Memorize Scripture. Commit it to memory. And it's not that hard. You take a little 3x5 card and you write it out. Maybe you do a couple of them. Put one in the bathroom, put one on the refrigerator, have one in the car. A couple times a day, you read through it, and eventually you're going to memorize it. Even if you just take it and you write down a verse or two, and you write it out on 3 or 4 separate cards, you might have it memorized just by doing that. So Bible reading and Scripture memory, these are ways to abide in Christ. Let me give you a third one, through prayer. As you pray and you turn to God and you ask Him for help, as you pray, you're relying on Him, saying, Lord, I need You. I don't have the strength in myself. I'm not self-sufficient. I'm not all-powerful. I can't handle these things, but You can. And so praying to You for help. A fourth spiritual discipline is church fellowship. Fellowshipping at church, after church, having accountability, having Christians that you could call and share, hey, I'm struggling, would you pray for me for this? It's not good to be a Lone Ranger Christian. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. He needed help. And so God wants you to have fellowship to help you. God's Word says, as Paul wrote to Timothy, pursue faith and righteousness with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. You need to grow in the Lord with other believers. The last spiritual discipline is obedience. You know, it's one thing to pray and fill your life with Scripture and to memorize and to read and to have fellowship. And those are all important, but there's no substitute for actually saying, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do what You say. I'm going to build my life in obedience to Your Word. And so these are the spiritual disciplines that God has given us. And as you do these things faithfully, day by day, and make it a pattern of your life, what are you doing? You're drawing near to the Lord. You're abiding in Him. And this may be convicting you. I don't know, this sermon isn't about convicting you, but if you're feeling convicted, you could take that conviction and say, you know what, well, I just haven't been a good Christian, and crawl deeper into the hole. Or you could take these and say, you know what, God has revealed these things because He wants me to draw near to Him and to abide in Him. And if you haven't, to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I want to draw near to You. And what does the Lord do? He welcomes you back, and He says, okay, come back to Me. And I want you to grow in Me. And I want to produce fruit in you, and I want to be glorified in your life. Isn't that good news? And so this is what Jesus is saying. Hey, true believers belong to Him, and true believers will abide in Him. And He gives us this passage so that we could know the truth, and that we could and we could turn away from any laziness, any disloyalty to the Lord in our life. We look at this passage and we need to take our relationship with Christ seriously. You see, God's Word, oftentimes He gives us the truth and He gives us encouragement, but He also includes a warning. And we see that warning in verse 6. Look at what God's word says. Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is what farmers do. They take the clippings and they burn them. This is also imagery of God's final judgment, the lake of fire. Those that don't know the Lord and don't belong to Him are cast into the lake of fire. They're not saved. Christ is not their shepherd. He's not their Lord. They don't belong to Him. They don't have eternal life. And the Lord says, okay, you don't want me. You don't get me for all eternity. And here Jesus includes this. Why does He do this? Is he trying to frighten us? No, I think He's given us a legitimate warning. There's people that they mess around and they deceive themselves and they deceive others, saying, I'm a Christian, I belong to Christ, and yet there's no evidence in their life of being a believer. Either they might attend church every now and again, they might, you know, I'll bow my head when someone prays for the food. But there's no abiding in Christ. There's no habits of being a disciple and a believer. There's no spiritual disciplines in their life. And Jesus says, if anyone doesn't abide in me, they're not fruitful, they're cut off, they're gathered and cast into the fire. And so Jesus is telling us this because you need to take your relationship with Christ seriously. If you belong to Him, belong to Him. Draw near to Him. Cling to Him. Abide in Him. So as we look at this passage, we see that true believers belong to Christ and true believers abide in Christ. And lastly, true believers bear fruit in Christ. It's not our fruit, it's not our doing, it's Christ. And as we rely on Him, and as we are in Him, we bear fruit. Disciples of Christ, we could say true Christians, true converts are not casual acquaintances with the Lord, but they belong to Him, and it's evident. True believers bear fruit in Christ. Let's look at the passage. In verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. There it is. How do I know I belong to Christ? Well, because Christ's words are going to abide in the believer. Christ's word is going to be precious to the believer. You know, sometimes I'll be in a situation where you talk with someone, we're doing evangelism, and they say, I'm a Christian, yep, I'm a believer, and then you start sharing scripture, and they're arguing against the scripture. And it's like, wait a second, I thought you said that you're a believer. I thought you said you're a Christian and that you believe Christ, but you're making excuses and rejecting His word. Like, these are the words of Christ. How could you be a believer and not believe what He says? And this is what Jesus makes the point here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to me to be my disciples. Just as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the commandments of my Father and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you so that your joy may be made full. Here, Jesus, He says, okay, true believers bear fruit. If you're connected to me as a branch, you're going to bear fruit. Because my life and my vitality working in you is going to bear fruit. And my Father, as He prunes and as He cares for the branches, He's going to make sure that you are fruitful. True believers bear fruit in Christ. And He describes this as abiding in Him. Christ's words abiding in you. Now Jesus says something in verse 7. He says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. A lot of people glom onto this. And we need to remember that verse 7 in this passage is a prayer of fruitfulness to the Lord. When Jesus says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, This isn't Jesus saying, ask me for a Corvette and it's going to be there in your driveway tomorrow morning. Some of us wish that would happen. But you have to understand Scripture within its context. And from John 15, 1 all the way through verse 11, what is the context that Jesus is teaching and explaining? About believers remaining in Him, being faithful to Him, and bearing fruit for the Lord. And so in verse 7, when Jesus says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, it's in the context of bearing fruit for the Lord. If your prayers ask the Lord, Lord, help me to serve you. Help me to be effective in evangelism. Lord, I have this neighbor, this friend, and I'm trying to share the gospel with them. Lord, would you help me? The Lord's going to help you with that. That's the context of Jesus saying, ask me whatever you want and I will do it for you. That statement is limited by the context. And when Jesus says it'll be done for you, sometimes people ask the question, did Jesus really mean this? Did Jesus really, because I've asked for things and God hasn't given it to me. And sometimes people say, well, is God not faithful or is His word not true? Well, when Jesus makes a statement, He makes it based on the context of being fruitful. Think about it this way. How many times have you told your children, I love you. I'll do anything for you. I'll lay down my life for you. You know, you have times where you share that with your children. And then the next week they come and they say, you know, Dad, can I stay up late and watch a movie? They say, no, not tonight. Well, you told me that you would do anything for me. You don't love me. Now, is that a right assessment of the situation? No, of course not. You know, when you say, I love you, I'd do anything for you, it's not, you know, I'm going to let you run wild and do whatever you want. No, of course not. And it's here with Christ that Christ says, I'm at work in you to make you fruitful. My Father is at work. And so ask me for anything and it will be granted. He's talking about serving Him, being fruitful. I can remember as a high school student getting saved about a year after I got saved, helping out at church, helping with the kids program and doing games with the kids and crafts with the kids and starting to teach, you know, the children's ministry director and the youth pastor would say, hey, can you teach this lesson? They give me curriculum and you'd study and prepare and teach it. And I can remember sitting with my friend Moses, who is also a pastor. And I remember talking with him and saying, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could serve the Lord like this full time with our lives? At that point, we had jobs. We were working as a cook and a dishwasher, a landscaper, and we were serving the Lord in kind of like our free time. If we weren't in school, if we weren't working, then we were doing stuff with the church. And I remember us talking about that and praying and asking the Lord, Lord, wouldn't it be great if we could do this? And little did I know that God in His wisdom and in His goodness had already prepared and had already ordained and had already called me to be a pastor. Every now and again, Moses and I talk on the phone and say, you remember that time? We're sitting in his light blue, beat up 1983 Toyota 4x4, just praying and asking the Lord, Lord, would you use us? See, God wants you to pray. He wants you to pray and ask Him, Lord, would you use me? And we need to keep in mind as we pray and as we make requests, Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is honored. Your name is holy. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we pray, we ask God, Lord, not what I want, but what you want. To be willing to submit ourselves and our lives to God's word and to God's will. So as Jesus teaches, he says, you're going to bear fruit. If you belong to me, if you're one of my people, you're going to bear fruit. And you can ask me to bear fruit, and I will grant it. And I will help you to bear fruit. And Jesus said this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus talks about the proof of being a disciple, and that is bearing fruit, and that is abiding in him. We looked at that list of the spiritual disciplines. Those should be practiced by us every single day. And we should be abiding in Christ every single day. And there should be some fruit in our lives. And there may be some more than others, but there will be fruit. True believers will always have fruit. And Jesus says, God is glorified as he produces fruit in your life. And he's glorified by that. And he makes it certain and he proves that you are his disciples. You see, the person that says, I know him and I love him and I belong to Christ, you should be able to look at their life and see, like, are they a disciple? Are they abiding in Christ? Is there evidence or is it just lip service? God doesn't want lip service. He says, no, come follow me. The truth that we see in this passage is that the proof of discipleship is demonstrated through remaining in Christ and his word and obedience to his will. This is what Jesus is driving home, and this is true of a true believer. Jesus warned against those that were fair-weather followers. And that just made a profession of faith, but weren't following. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Call me Lord, but you don't treat me like Lord. And why is Jesus doing this? Is he picking on you? And he's saying, no, like if you believe in me, like believe in me and follow me all the way. Not halfway, not three-quarter way, but follow me all the way. You see, the truth is that real disciples, real Christians are going to bear fruit to the Lord. They're not going to be perfect. There's no believer is perfect. Even Peter denied the Lord. But there's going to be a pattern of, I'm following Christ. I'm trusting the Lord. I want to do what he says. I'm yielding to him. I want to be fruitful for him. A great passage that illustrates this is Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. How are you saved? It's not by your works. It's by God's grace. It's a gift of God. And then in verse 10 it says, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Why did Christ save us? For good works. Why are we a new creation in Christ? For good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, this is God's will. God's glorified as we fulfill the purpose that he has saved us for. He saved us so that we can be fruitful, bringing people to Christ, serving people, loving people, putting God on display. God's glorified in that, and these are the good works that God created beforehand. Boy, what a great prayer every day to pray and say, Lord, I know that you, from eternity past, have prepared good works for me to do today. And Lord, I want to do them for you. Would you strengthen me? Would you help me to do those? As Jesus teaches us that true believers belong to Christ and abide in Christ and bear fruit in Christ, Jesus says this faithfulness and this abiding, this love for Christ, it's the same love that Christ has for the Father and the Father for Christ and Christ has for us. Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me and I have loved you, abide in me. Abiding in Christ and remaining in him, that's faithful love. Boy, how faithful has God been to you? And Jesus says, that's the way I want you to be faithful to me with the same love that I had for you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How do we know that Jesus obeyed the Father? Or how do we know that Jesus loved the Father? Through obedience. And how do we know that Jesus loved us? Because he went to the cross. He gave himself. And how do you know that you love God? By giving yourself to him. See, this abiding in Christ, it's faith, it's dependence, it's love. It's a all-out commitment and loyalty to the Lord. Lord, you're my everything. And so Jesus, he helps them to see, this is what it means to abide in me and to remain in me and to remain in my love. There's a love component there. Loving Christ, obeying Christ, serving Christ, bearing fruit in Christ. It's faith and love tied together and working together to produce fruitfulness. Jesus had already explained to the disciples. He said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. How could you say, Lord, I love you and not obey him or not trust him or not accept his word? What Jesus is saying is those that believe in me, they love me and they accept my word and they trust me. They belong to me. So God's word tells us these realities of being a believer, that a true Christian belongs to Christ and abides to Christ and is fruitful in Christ. This is true. A believer should be marked by obedience. Paul, he writes to the Philippians and he praises them, he commends them. Even though they were a brand new church and they were young in the faith, listen to what Paul writes to them. He says, so then, my beloved, just as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Paul says, hey, you guys obeyed while I was there and when I was gone. And what that means is they weren't obedient to the Lord because Paul was there twisting their arm. You guys better obey. He wasn't there threatening them and strong-arming them. No, they obeyed in his presence and in his absence because they loved God. And he says, work out your salvation. God's already saved you. You love him and let it come out. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling because God is the one at work in you. The effort, the desire, that is all God working in you. This is the vine producing the fruit in the branches. And so Jesus says, do it for his good pleasure. Do it for the Lord. And so Jesus, as he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches, abide in me. Have you come to understand and accept that I need Jesus? I need him to sustain me. I need him to save me. And I need him to lead my life and sustain me so that I could serve him. That's so important. And then will you trust him and will you abide in him and remain in him and let him do his work in you? God wants us to abide and remain in him in faithfulness and diligence. You know, we don't know how long this life is going to be. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. And so the Lord says, abide in me until that day that I take you home or I return. You know, there was once a farmer, and he had some projects, and he hired two men to work for him. One of them, he was going to hire on full-time. He couldn't afford to bring on both of them, but he was going to pick one, and so he couldn't really decide which one he wanted to hire full-time. They had helped him with several projects, and they were both, you know, competent, and they were helpful. And so they got started working one job, and they get into the mid-morning, and they run out of some of the things that they needed. The farmer says, you know, I'm going to go up to the hardware store and say, you guys wait here until I get back. And so he left, and the old truck goes down the dirt road. And And so one of the workers moves over to the shade. He sits down. He leans his back against the side of the barn, and he starts to take a nap. The other worker started to clean up from the work that they had already done and pick up some of the scraps, kind of organize the tools. When he was done with that, the farmer wasn't back, and so he noticed that along the side of the barn there's some weeds growing. And so he took a rake and a shovel, and he started to weed in that area. He raked them into neat piles, and as he was almost done, the farmer comes down the road and pulls into the driveway, and he sees one guy in the shade taking a nap, and the other guy was doing the weeding, and he already cleaned up. And the farmer knew, okay, I know now who I'm going to hire, because I left these guys, and one was diligent, and one was faithful. And that's the kind of guy I want working for me. You see, while we live this life and while we're waiting for the Lord to accomplish his will, that may be a year, that may be 50 years from now. We don't know. But will you abide in the Lord? Will you remain faithful to him and serve him and use that time to bring him glory? See, this is what God has called us to. Let's pray and ask him to help us live that out. Lord, thank you for your word and for this truth. And Lord, help us to receive your word and help us to abide in you. Use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers are going to come forward, and as we sing this song, this is a new song for us here at the church. I think you'll understand why we're singing it after the sermon today, but we'll have the ushers come forward to receive the offering. If you filled out one of the prayer cards, just make sure to drop that in the offering bag. Let me pray for what's given today. Father, we thank you for this day, and would you use what is given for your glory? Thank you that we could serve you by giving to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.